Okay, so here we are, and we have a quorum, and the first thing to do is for me to make this motion. Okay, I move that we adopt the following agenda. Call to order, 7 p.m. Approval of agenda, 20 minutes. 3. Identify timekeeper, 2 minutes. 4. Excuse absences, 5 minutes. 5. Minutes approval, 10 minutes. 6. Treasurer's report, 15 minutes. 7. General manager's report on WBAI's finances, 30 minutes. 8. Set next meeting date, 5 minutes. 9. New business, 10. Adjourn no later than 9:30 p.m. Eastern. Okay, is there any debate or amendments to that motion to adopt that agenda?
Yeah, I'd like to add something.
Okay, hold on, Jim. Jim Dingman. Okay, what is it you want to adopt? What's your amendment?
I would just like to add 10 minutes. I want to share with you some of the data we're getting from drafting a strategic plan, and that has to do with money.
Okay.
It only takes 10 minutes.
Add a strategic plan for how much? 10 minutes?
For the whole network. Yeah, 10 minutes is enough. Yeah. For the whole network.
Okay. Okay, so there's an amendment to add. Oh, where do you want to put that?
Put it whatever you want. Wherever you want, man.
Okay. How about we put that after the treasurer's report?
No problem. No problem.
Okay, what a... Okay, so there's a motion to put to add after treasurer's report strategic plan for 10 minutes. Okay, any debate on that?
Yes, I have a question. Oh, Paul, this is Mario.
Yeah, Mario, go ahead.
Is this from where? From the national board or the local LSB? Or just
from the national board. This is from the national board.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any other debate or questions or anything on this amendment to the agenda? Hearing none, is there any objection to going to the vote on this? Hearing none, is there any objection to adding a strategic plan after treasurer's report for 10 minutes to the agenda? Hearing none, it's passed without objection, and let me go into my agenda and stick that in there so we don't forget about it. Okay, so there's that. All right. Is there anything else we wanted to do? Well, is there anything else we need to do regarding the agenda? Okay, hearing none. Is there any objection to adopting the agenda as amended? Hearing none, it's adopted as amended. Okay. Let's see. Okay. Next is identify timekeeper.
I'll do it.
Okay. Write this down here. Okay. Jeffrey Stern will do it. Any objection to Jeffrey Stern being the timekeeper? Hearing none, Jeffrey Stern is a timekeeper. Next item I'll pull one second.
I just want to know, when I call time, can we respect that those limits rather than have people keep on going and ignoring that?
Yeah, I hope people will.
Sorry.
I try to get to it, I know, and, you know, sometimes
it's just frustrating for me because I try to do what's right for everything. Everybody wants to, you know, it just makes it tougher, okay? All right.
Next item is excused absences, and we have some, and okay, let me check again the emails and get the messages if there are any new ones. Okay, well, one of them just came in, but it came in late. And as people know, if it comes in late, it has to be before 7 or at 7, at the latest at exactly 7. This came in after 7, so we can't do it. But we have some other excused absences. And where? Okay, Michael D.D. White is here. So, he doesn't need an excused absence. However, Serene Roberts has requested an excused absence. Okay. Let's see. I move to excused. I move to excuse the absence of Serene Roberts. Is there any debate on that motion?
was part of that.
Okay, we got multiple people here. Who's this?
Kellen McIntyre sending.
There you go. Okay, thank you, Kellen McIntyre. I'm going to call the roll right after we get this done. So anyway. Is there any debate or anything on excusing an emotion to excuse Serene Roberts' absence? Hearing none, it's passed without objection. And so that takes care of the excused absences. And now, I need to do a more formal. Everybody's coughing. Me too. A more formal roll call. So please answer up when you hear your name. Jack DePalma.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. Jim Dingman. Answer up, Jim. You just made a motion. All right. He's here. Bruce Grief. Noel Jameson.
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. Carolyn McIntyre. Just said she was here. Okay. Daryl McPherson. Ellie Murphy. Oh, she
here.
Said she was here. There you go. Bertold Reimers.
I'm here.
Yes, I have
Sorry.
You. I have you. Bertold Reimers.
Okay, thank you.
Bertold, are you here? Serene Roberts, Neil Voss. Okay, those are the people who are here. And we still have a quorum, and now I have to read the following. While attendance...
Call my name. James Sagerton.
Sagerton is here. Let me grab that now. Okay, I have you, James.
Thank you. Did you want to do Michael
sure.
White? And a formal roll call.
Yes, I have you down. I have you down. Okay.
I think Carolyn McIntyre checked in.
Yes, Carolyn McIntyre. I have Carolyn McIntyre here. Here are the only people missing. Bruce Grief, Daryl McPherson, Bertold Reimers, Serene Roberts, Neil Voss. If any of them are here, pipe up. Hearing none, I have to read the following. While attendees at any WBAI meeting are not required to identify themselves, anyone who wants to become a member of the committee must sign the sign-in sheet at 3 consecutive committee meetings in order to become a member. It is the policy of the WBAI LSB that for the local finance committee, that the sole criterion for establishing attendance at meetings to become a member of the local finance committee shall be the signing in on the official sign-in sheet for that meeting. For these electronic meetings, it is sufficient that the prospective member let the chair know their name and that they are present during the meeting. The PNB has passed a motion that, quote, only those affiliated for voting purposes with a particular local station and only that local station may serve as voting members of a committee of that local station board. Is there anybody here who wants to become a member? Please let me know you're here. Mario, that means you. Mario? Pipe up, Mario. Is Matt Mazza here? Matt Mazza, are you here? I do not hear Matt Mazza. All right. Okay, is there anybody else here who wants to become a member after I've just read that whole thing? Okay, I don't. Somebody has a radio or TV on in the background. Could they please either mute themselves or turn down that electronic thing there? Okay, so that's what we have. Next will be
Daryl McPherson is here.
Okay. Daryl McPherson is here. Okay. The next item on the agenda is minutes approval. And the secretary is here. So,
okay.
M.K. Williams, take it away.
I sent the minutes from July 19th. I hope everybody got them. And I move that we accept them without reading of them.
Okay. And a motion is to approve the minutes of the July 19th meeting. Is there any debate on that motion? Hearing none, is there any objection to passing the motion to approve those minutes? Hearing none, those minutes are approved.
Thank you.
Okay. Next will be a horse treasurer's report. Oh, boy. Okay, let me do my stuff here. One second while I clear my throat. Drink some water. Okay. Here we go with a treasurer's report. All right. This is gonna. God. Pardon me. I'm having trouble here with. So I'm gonna. I may be coughing and clearing my throat a lot during this. Sorry about that. This report is going to outline some serious and disturbing developments on the financial front in Pacifica lately. I want to mention that the NFC sent the KPFK draft budget on to the PNB last week, even though it's a deficit budget. But some NFC members pledged to not vote for passing the WBAI deficit budget onto the PNB some months ago, and so it didn't even come up for a vote. And I'm thinking maybe we should bring the WBAI draft FY23 budget to the floor of the NFC next time to see who does what. The good news, God, my throat, what is this? God. All right, sorry. The good news is that everyone made payroll for the July 31st pay date, and everyone also made the August 15th payroll, although that was looking dicey a week ago. Other good news is that Pacifica has been able to hang on to the health insurance for paid staff and management. That was also looking really dicey for a while, around the health insurance especially, because Pacifica was far behind on it all. But there is bad news. As previously reported, Pacifica has accounts payable of about $2.3 million. But the executive director told the NFC at the August 8th NFC meeting that there's about $988,000 of that that are, as she put it, of concern. These are vendors that are really after their payments, and they've been owed money for a while. Services could be cut off if they don't get paid something in the near term. And the executive director is talking to them and trying to, see what can be done. Another consequence of Pacifica and the stations not paying bills on time is that on August 7th, the insurance brokers told the executive director that the majority of Pacifica's insurance policies had been canceled. What's been canceled was earthquake insurance in Los Angeles, the equipment insurance for all stations, including broadcast, studio, and towers, property and casualty insurance, general liability insurance, excess liability insurance, and media liability insurance. The executive director said that Pacifica management needs to figure out if they need to limit exposure to liability by restricting access to Pacifica's buildings by non-employees and see if we have to go all remote again. She said that Pacifica would still have workman's compensation insurance and health insurance because those payments have been made. The executive director said that she was looking into what effect this loss of insurance coverage may have on some of our loans because the buildings being used for collateral were no longer insured. This could make for another problem if the lenders get scared by the lack of insurance. The executive director said that the monthly interest payments had not been made on the economic injury disaster loan, which we call EIDL. She said that she'd been notified that Pacifica is in default on that loan and that the matter had been turned over to the United States Treasury Department for collection. She said that Pacifica owed $26,193 in interest payments on the EIDL. The principal of Pacifica's EIDL is about $3.1 million. The government is only going to try to collect the interest owed at this time, as far as I know. That's 26 grand. So Pacifica has the EIDL and the FJC loans that we've not been paying the interest on, and some very important insurance policies have been canceled, and we have almost $1 million in accounts payable that are of concern, as the executive director put it. And what are the lenders going to do, about the collateral on their loans being uninsured now? Some vendors may decide to take action against Pacifica now that the insurance is mostly gone. Pacifica is very vulnerable to a number of things right now, and it doesn't look like things are going to get better very soon. The executive director is seeking advice of counsel. And an issue here is, for instance, if you're lending money on collateral on a building and there's no insurance, if the building burns down, well, you're not going to, and you foreclose on everything, you're not going to be foreclosing in a burned-down building. So, you know, it's not going to be so good. The lender will not get what they had contracted to get. So this is all very serious. The next NFC meeting is scheduled for Tuesday, August 22nd, 2023, at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and that meeting will be held by teleconference, and that is the Treasurer's Report. Are there any questions on the treasurer's report?
Yes. This is Noel Jameson.
Okay. Let's take a stack. Noel, anybody else?
Daryl McPherson.
Okay, Daryl McPherson. Anybody else on stack? Okay, let's go with those two. Noel, go ahead.
I assume that means that we do not have directors and officers liability insurance or
that's
coverage
correct.
For volunteers.
There's no coverage. What do you mean coverage for volunteers? We never had – the volunteers aren't covered by anything.
For if the local station are the man – like Bertel no longer has indemnification through insurance?
Okay. For local station board, there's never been insurance for us. We are just – out there saying, oh, boy, I hope things go okay. So there's that.
Okay.
And as for, well, Bertold is, of course, general manager. So, yeah, there's no kind of insurance on all of that stuff. So, yeah, there's just no insurance. So if somebody walks into the building and falls down and breaks their leg, they sue directly WBAI. There's no insurance on that whatsoever at this time. Okay? All right. Are you done, Noel?
I'm done. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Daryl McPherson?
Mario to the stack.
Hold on. Daryl McPherson, go ahead.
Thank you, all, Paul Martin. The total, is that the $2.3 million, is that the total debt of Pacifica, or is there more?
Okay, the last time we were told, which is like maybe a month ago now, I think, it's about $2.3 million, yeah.
Right, okay. And then of that, you're looking at $1.5 million that's, like, totally critical.
No, $988,000. Almost $1 million. $12,000 short of $1 million. So it's $988,000 that the executive director says is, quote, of concern, unquote.
Are the two loans in any of your reports so I can try and get a handle on? Is that primarily the largest focus that the executive director is looking at? For instance, if the executive director got a windfall of $3 million, Pacifica would be straight. Would that be a fair statement?
Probably pretty close to that. Yeah, I think if Pacifica suddenly got $3 million, yeah, we'd probably get the insurance. We'd certainly catch up on things, but we wouldn't put away the loans because one loan is, okay, off the top of my head, I think one loan is 2.1 and the other one is, let me see, did I write that one down? The idle is $3.1 million. The FJC, as far as I know, is $2.1
million. So, okay,
2.6. 2.6.
2.6? Oh, boy. Okay, that's more than I had known it had been. So the FJC is 2.6 now. Okay, thank you. All right, so does that answer your question, Daryl?
Let me just clarify. The idle loan is 2.1, and the FJC, I got it wrong?
Idle is 3.1, and now 3.1. I'm being told FJC is 2.6.
Oh, okay, I understand that. All right, the other thing is...
Those numbers are backwards.
Who said that?
That's James. I think those numbers are backwards. I was only $2 million to begin with. It can't be $3 million now.
Okay, this is what the executive director has told us at the NFC meetings.
Yeah, I think those. I still think
all right,
backwards.
One way or another, you know, we can look at this later or something.
Yeah.
But
okay, just to end it up, do you know it would be out of line to ask what the immediate debt of BAI is, and then what the total debt of BAI is?
Berthold, are you here?
Oh no, that's all right. You can wait and do the rest.
Okay, it's been okay. Now this is top of my head. I'm not looking it up while I try to run a meeting and avoid stretching cables that'll knock everything on the floor. As I recall, it's like 1.4 million at this for BAI at this point in time. Okay.
Thank you, Opal. Thank you.
Well, all right. So we have Mario is next. And Mario is here, so, okay.
The recent plan to have volunteers come in to answer phones, that's not going to be a good idea. There will be no insurance.
That would, in fact, impact that particular idea.
You know, getting an infuse of money... They got $5 million.
Okay, hold on a second, Mario. Somebody has a TV or radio on in the background. Could they please either mute themselves or turn that off? And you have to mute yourself using your telephone because there's no mute for people on Maestro Conference. Okay, Mario, go ahead.
Yeah.
Paul, could I get on the stack also, please?
Who's this?
$5 million tomorrow.
James.
Okay.
The bills start accruing right after that. That just gives them to zero or balance out, but then there's no money coming in. You know, they'll just start accruing more debt. I think the network needs to make $500,000 to $700,000 a month to pay all its bills. That's just an estimate, because out in California they have a bigger staff. The insurance is another factor that can bring everybody down. So, yeah, if BAI becomes solvent, the network has problems. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Before we go on, let me ask, is Matt Mazza here? I'm asking because if he shows up, it's his third meeting. Okay, I don't hear Matt Mazza. Next is James Sagerton.
I'm here.
Yes,
this is Matt.
Matt Mazza is here. Okay, Matt, congratulations.
Hey, Matt
Mazza is here, and he's a member again. Okay, you're a member again, Matt. Okay, James Sagerton, please go ahead.
Congratulations, Matt. Yeah, I just wanted to say that our general counsel is working up a waiver for people to sign to come into buildings. So that may alleviate the situation. I think we still don't want to limit it to the smallest amount of traffic possible, but he is working up a waiver for things like having volunteers make phone calls to raise revenue. And I also wanted to add that I think $800,000 of the WBAI long-term debt is central services. And if we had had our CPB money, we wouldn't have that debt. Of course, you know, we lost it some time ago. Not to WBAI's fault.
Okay. All right. Anybody else have anything they want to say or ask about regarding the treasurer's report? Anybody?
Just as a quick addendum, is it all right if I add that in order to do phone calling for fundraising, it isn't necessary to have anybody go to the station. That's like really old. You can have everybody be at home.
Well, yeah, that is probably true, but they would have to work that out and... that's something would have to be worked out, and that would also involve the general counsel anyway. And maybe they'll try that. Perhaps they will go that route. Okay.
May I add to that, Arpal?
Who's this?
This is James. I want to just add a little bit to that.
Okay, James Sagan, go ahead.
Yeah, that is under consideration, doing it remotely. And there is a question about the security of the membership lists. That's one reason in the past it's been frowned upon to do things of that sort remotely, but we may have to find ways beyond that now.
Okay. Thank you. Time has been called. Unless somebody wants to make a motion to extend this particular part of the meeting, we're going to go on to the next item. And I don't hear such a motion. So the next item is the strategic plan. And Jim Dingman, you brought it up, and so you have the floor.
All right. Thank you, Paul. All right. I'm speaking now in my capacity as the chair of the Pacifica National Strategic Planning Committee. People will know that in the past, there were strategic plans that were adopted and implemented. The most famous one in Pacifica is the one in 1992 that led to the people implementing it overthrown 10 years later. That is available online. It's an interesting document to read. It's authored by Gail Christian. I always recommend people to read it. Since this committee has been created in recent years, there have been attempts and stabs. Alex Steinberg, when he was the chair, he did a lot of very good work. And now we're trying to come together with a strategic plan. In the midst of all these financial emergencies that hit us like every 10 minutes. Now, there was a strategic plan draft done last year, and it was done by Stephanie Wells, and we've been working with it. And we intend, of course, to rewrite and introduce something into the picture. But let me just outline with you some of the things that we have started to come up with, which show our task is daunting in order to turn the network around, not only WBAI. First of all, the amount of people who are actual listener members of WBAI and all the Pacifica stations in general have declined by about 70% from 2004 to the present. In 2004, they were approximately 96,000 listener member subscribers. Now there are about 30,400 listener member subscribers throughout the system. So we've had a 70% loss in actual listener members. The distribution of revenue is skewed to the listener members. So in all the stations, we have categories of listener members who contribute, you know, please, whoever is making that noise, silence it, please, because I'm not going to really want to continue with a whole bunch of excess noise. The amount of people who donate money, 1,000 and above, varies from station to station. Some stations have about 20% of their revenue coming in from what essentially amounts to very generous people. I guess we could characterize them as WBA buddies. But when you add that number up to the listener members who come in and pay for premiums, New York in particular, about 86% of our revenue comes in from those kind of combination of sources. And all the stations, it's about 80%. In some cases, it's about 90%. Now, the average amount of money coming into – all right, who the fuck is doing that shit? Can you please silence yourself? Thank you. The average amount of money coming in nationwide to all the different stations and, let's say, public media sectors – they receive money from private, from local foundations and national foundations. The average is about 6% nationally. We, of course, are in probably the 0.2, 0.1% range of our overall revenue. And these numbers are based on the consolidated reports that we just got that are active as of May of this year. So that's one weakness. We do not get much money at all, except for the station in Berkeley, from local or national foundations. Another key gap in this is the CPV. In the normal NPR or sometimes community radio stations. We have in our affiliate network a lot of stations that get money from the CPB. Around 15% of the overall gross revenue comes from the CPB. We get, as you know, no money from the CPB. Other sources is about 15%. That has all different kinds of categories in it. And one of the categories is bequests. I know that the amount of money going into stations like the one in Berkeley is pretty high in terms of bequests, but we cannot have a strategy basically waiting for people who are elderly to kick the bucket and then donate their money to the station. That is a ridiculous strategy. I've heard people actually say that. We have to have a total structural change. Now, another weakness, complete weakness, is the issue of corporate and business underwriting. Now, that, of course, is quite controversial. One thing that's occurred in New York, we know that Berthold and Linda have been actively getting money from the city and state of New York. But when you compare the composition of money from underwriting and corporate backing, and the motion that was passed by the board last year for underwriting basically hasn't been implemented, except to some extent in New York, a little bit in L.A., 20% of the revenue in a normal community radio station that receives money from the CPB comes from underwriting or local business support. We have no numbers approaching anywhere near that. So the underwriting is a big vulnerability and something that has to be enhanced. The motion has been passed. One of the task forces that is to be set up is to actually go out and get underwriting. Now, finally, there's a problem nationally, and this is as a result of the pandemic. So, you know, one can put a lot of blame, and justifiably so, on all the stations in Los Angeles and New York for their weaknesses in terms of the decline of audience, et cetera. However, there is a macro problem going on here now, and that is the amount of people actually listening to radio. Now, in the latest statistics as of June of this year, the amount of people listening to analog radio in general in all sorts of major markets declined during the pandemic, in some cases by 40 to 47%. In other cases, the overall aggregate number is approximately a 20% decrease. But what is disturbing is that coming out of the pandemic, the numbers have continued to decline. So aggregate analog listening in this year, in this time, throughout the entire United States, including commercial and public media is defined as people who receive money from the CPB and community radio, it's still declined. It's declined more, about 10 to 15%. So those are the kind of challenges we face in terms of trying to recoup and rebuild. Finally, the estimates of our CUMs. Now, the CUMs are the amount of people who listen each week to each station. That's important. And all my concentration in this work so far is on revenue. I'm not dealing with expenses. I'm trying to figure out revenue and what we can do to diversify revenue. One of the problems is that we have suffered I estimate it could be as high as 90%, but at least 75 to 80% of our audience since 1999 has declined. So the CUMs of all the stations right now are somewhere in the range of 220 to 300,000 people tuning in a week. But that doesn't mean that there are that many listeners. It means that people just are simply tuning in. And you've got one person tuning in a couple of times a day or a couple of times a week to one radio station. I personally think that the amount of our decline could be as high as 90%. Now, if that is in fact the case, and remember when I started this off, I read off a statistic that the amount of listener members has declined from approximately 100,000 to 30,000, 70%. Those kind of numbers correlate. So that's the kind of daunting task we have to face. Now, what we're doing here with a draft is that at some point we're going to, you know, release this so people can, you know, cab at us, criticize the hell out of us, and criticize the document itself. However, one of the things that's essential that I think I know I will write in this draft to recommend is we have to stabilize his financial situation ASAP. And that means that New York and Los Angeles in particular have to be stabilized, because right now they are in trouble. Now, that's it, then. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So time has been time has been called on that item. And is there, if there's no motion to
motion to extend
the time for this item, we will go on. Can I ask people not to try to speak over me? Let me finish a sentence. Let's just all finish the sentence. So is there a motion to extend the time for this particular item?
Yes.
Okay, who's making the motion?
Daryl McPherson asked to extend for 5 minutes.
How long?
5 minutes.
Five. Okay, there's a motion to extend the time for this item by 5 minutes. Is there any objection to that motion? Hearing none, it's extended. Mr. Timekeeper, I have 1951. Okay, are there any questions? Let's make a fast stack.
Daryl McPherson for the staff.
Daryl, anybody else? Okay, Daryl, go ahead.
Thank you. May I address Jim directly?
Sure. It's a committee.
All right, thank you. Thank you, Jim. Thanks for the work. Can you tell me whether any of those figures include the streaming? And could you repeat the WBAI cumes again?
The WBAI cumes, I estimate right now, are anywhere from 20 to 40,000 people, 40,000 tune-ins a week. It could be higher. It used to be close to 100,000. There's been a problem with all the stations. They've been more or less frozen at 100,000. The amount of people listening to the station in Houston has actually increased quite significantly, and the station listenership in Berkeley and in Washington is about 60 to 80,000. However, in Los Angeles, it's down to 20 to 40,000, and I would say the amount of tune-ins coming in realistically to New York is about 20 to 40,000. So that's really dramatically low from where it was before.
And does the stream, is there any way to account for the stream?
The stream data usually correlates to about 10% of the actual analog listening in New York. So if you look at the streaming data, the best way to get a cume is to multiply it by 10. So that's how I get those numbers. But, you know, look, I've been looking at these numbers for many years. So, and we're not getting Nielsen ratings right now. That's a problem. But I would say that our numbers are historically probably lower than they've been in quite a while. And you see the results in the amount of money we're making and the money that's being made in Los Angeles. Their numbers are even more decisively low than ours.
Right. And is the committee that you're chairing going to take up strategies to increase listenership?
Well, that's going to have to be dependent on there's a lot of things that have to, yeah, that's going to be one thing we're going to consider. And frankly, you know, I know what my personal feeling about that is, but it's going to have to be, in order to move forward with a strategic plan, you sort of have to get it out to everybody. And we know there's divisions among people about sharply how to go. There are very decisively different approaches to dealing with the situation. However, I don't have to tell you, after R. Paul made his comments, I could add some more to that. We are in a fiscal vortex that could explode in our face any day, any week in the near future.
Now, they can take it off. Just last thing, Fort Wall Street could just turn off the antenna anytime they want.
Well, that applies to Los Angeles also. They are facing a problem because they're behind in their payments for the electricity bill in Los Angeles. So, yeah, it's a pretty serious problem everywhere.
Can I address something here?
Oh, hold on a second, Berthold. All right, so Jim Dingman, are you done?
I'm done.
Daryl, are you done?
Yes, thank you so much, Paul. Appreciate it.
All right. I hear Bertold Reimers. Bertold, go ahead.
I'll just make a correction. We just checked on the stream. Our online numbers are as high as those of KBFA, which is the highest one in the network. Mitch Jesrich seems to be one of the highest online listened to shows, very comparable to WBAI. So for some strange reason, there's for some strange reason, our online numbers are a lot higher than they should be, based on this logic. Just looked at it today with Linda.
Mario to the stack.
Okay, Bertold, so you're saying that our stream numbers are... Yeah, are you looking at the... there's a thing we can go to, the Pacifica strategic stuff. Is that what you're looking at?
Pacifica... the stream. Pacifica, whatever, Pacifica...
Yeah, okay.
Not Pacifica at all, yeah.
Okay, so you're going by that. All right. I don't know if that's... Yeah. I don't know that that's a great metric right there. That's really as workable as some think it is. But anyway. All right.
That's the only metric we have.
Yeah, well.
Online.
A lot of stuff. All right. Is there anybody else who wants to comment on this? I hear Mario. Is anybody else?
Time.
Okay. So time has been called on this. Does anybody want to make a motion to extend the time on this particular item?
Daryl makes a motion to extend for 3 minutes to exhaust the stack.
3 minutes, not... Okay, this exhaust the stack stuff is... extend 3 minutes. Is there any objection to extending the time for this item by 3 minutes? Okay, hearing none, it is extended by 3 minutes. Mr. Timekeeper, it is 1956. 1957.
Okay.
Make that 57. It changed as I put it in. Okay, so we've extended for 3 minutes. Who wants to say something here?
So it was Mario.
I guess it's Mario. Okay. Mario, go ahead.
Well, I listen to radio all over the place, AM, FM, and I heard an announcement several times on AM radio that the National Organization of Broadcasters is in a fight because all the car makers in the United States want to take AM radio off the cars, out of the cars. So there's a lot going on, and this is valid. This is going on where you have the car makers don't want to carry AM. I don't know why. They didn't. Maybe it's posted somewhere. What's their reasoning behind it? Maybe there's got to be something more to it than just that nobody's listening. I don't know if that's just the case, but that's what's going on there. And the National Organization of Broadcasters is looking for people to write their, report in this and sign the petition and all of this stuff. I think we should also get involved in that. It's just making an announcement. It's radio. If you want to support, I know it's AM, but we're FM. But eventually they'll come for everybody else. I agreed with some of the LSB people from the past about a year or two ago. They said that radio's hard to censor in the way that internet can and all this other stuff. I still believe that. I think it's now you not only do you have to work on increasing your listenership, you have to campaign to have people listen to radio altogether. Forget about just your radio station. Maybe something could be done in solidarity with some other, maybe that's another thing to bring in as part of the plan, is see what other nonprofit radio stations are struggling. And have maybe somebody in the LSB, they could come in a committee or something to start a group that starts to get together and then can start lobbying the politicians and whatnot of nonprofit FM radio stations. That's something that I thought of. And one other thing, I went to a restaurant
Mario,
and they're using postcards.
On,
they're giving free postcards out with their kind of nice art.
Okay, first of all, there's some wild noise going on here. So please, somebody either stop it or mute it or whatever. Second of all, time has been called, Mario. So
right,
unless there's a motion to extend again, this item will be over. So is there any motion to extend? Hearing none.
Oh, Paul, I'd like to respond for a moment.
Well, you're going to need to make a motion to extend.
Daryl, put up a motion to extend.
Hold on, folks. Is there a motion to extend?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Motion is to extend for 5 minutes.
Okay. All right, motion is to extend 5 minutes. Is there any objection to extending for 5 more minutes? Hearing none, it passes. We're extended. Mr. Timekeeper, I have 21. It's a minute after 8. Okay. Jim Digman, you wanted to respond. Go ahead.
All right. Well, thank you, Mario.
Yeah. 10 seconds. I think if you take your membership and you mail them 4 postcards... that makes sense, something on the face of it, or they could be 4 different designs. People might use these as postcards, put their own stamp on it. You just mail it to the membership, and also they can be given out as an advertisement as well. It's a postcard, and so people would use it to just message their friends through snail mail. They'll put their own stamp on it. So I never thought of this until I went to this restaurant last night, that the 3x5 cards or 3x4 cards should be in the form of a postcard. And so somebody, oh, this is a postcard, and then they'll mail it around. There's a higher degree of chance that they'll do that. So rather than just a card advertising the station, you make it a postcard. And so they'll mail it around. Somebody might see it and say, what is this station here? What is this thing on the other side? But you got to make it attractive. You got to make it New York. It can't be radical. It's got to be just to put it out there. You know, we could discuss that. Can't, you know, for the sake of time here. And I thought about this. I said this restaurant is still using postcards. So, what a good idea. All right, thank you.
All right, Jim Dingman, go ahead.
All right. First of all, Pacifica needs to be involved in these debates nationally. Senator Ed Markey from the state of Massachusetts is involved with this whole question about taking car FM AM radios out of cars. So it's a very serious issue, and Pacifica's absence at the national level of any involvement with any of the debates in the House and the Senate on these issues is telling, because we haven't had a presence in those kind of debates since the early 90s. Secondly, the question of the streaming data, I'm basically looking at the synthesis of the streaming data, the Nielsen data, and also how much money we get, because there's a correlation with how much money we get within our listeners. So that's where I'm getting those numbers. Finally, and this has already been revealed in open sources, I want to disabuse some people arguing that there's been a bridge loan. Stephanie Wells talked about this in the Houston board meeting about a week ago. There were 2 proposals coming out from Los Angeles. One was a $3 million bridge loan with a 14% interest rate that had to be paid off in 2 years. That was one bridge loan that was essentially offered and rejected, because that would mean, while it would eliminate the FJC loan, we'd have to pay within 2 years $3.6 million. Another loan was also examined out in Los Angeles, and the problem that occurred there was when you finally went through the various brokers, they would be third in line for any collateralization of the properties behind the FJC and the idle people. So they rejected that. So in terms of bridge loans, it's very difficult right now. And if people are going to make these arguments in this situation right now, I want to straighten them out because those are the facts of the matter. And there is no easy way to get money right now, given the situation we're in. So you have no choice but to pull up our sleeves and work like hell to turn the situation around now. And it's going to require a holistic approach to turn everything around in New York in particular, because as far as I'm concerned, we face the probable likelihood in the next 6 months of people deciding, if not sooner, to implement drastic budget cuts here in New York, draconian budget cuts, and or simply swap or sell our signal, which would gain and garner $40 to $60 million, or maybe less than that these days, because FM radio stations are not valuable. And I'm not saying that to scare people. That will be looked on as a rational choice. Already, we see at work who look on that as a rational choice. Thank you.
Okay, time has been called, and so the next item that we're going to is a frozen computer. Crap. What the hell just happened? All right, hold on a second, folks, I think. Oh, boy. All right, 1 second here. We had a small, oh, man. 1 second. I'm sorry. Tried to paste it in, and I forgot that I had something else in there, and now I'm pasting it in. General Manager's report on WBAI's finances. Bertold, go ahead. Bertold?
Well, guys, yes, I'm here. Well, nothing much has changed since last month's report, nor the special meeting that I had with LSV, or the recent LSV meeting where I presented for 30 minutes. It's the same thing. We owe about 5 months of four Times Square. We owe about $60,000 to the call center. $30,000 to the call center. $60,000. We owe 5 months or 6 months. 6 months to 388 Atlantic Avenue, and then these are existential bills. You know, four Times Square, well, about $85,000. You know, and despite the fact that WBAI management brought in about $80,000 in public service announcement, as I said before, the fund drive has gone down from $3,250 to about $2,500 per day on an average because we have no new premium. We have the same thing, and producers are not coming with any new premium. And there's not so much magic management can do in recycling premium or editing them. We get diminishing returns when you keep on presenting the same stuff. So management is doubling down on trying to get more PSAs. So the goal is to get $300,000 a year in revenue from PSAs. So we had asked the LSB to participate in raising money. We have five or six committees that we have created. Four of them that I personally, you know, care for. One of them is the Premium Finding Committee. I need three LSB members. I'd love to have one or two of them being producers or board app, front roads, or whomever is, you know, on the board, Paul or Max or something like that. People who are producers and have been are used to raising money. So I'd like at least one or two of them to be part of this three-person committee from the board. And I'll give them instructions and explanation and links of different sites where they can go and find premiums from DVDs to a site of Trend bookstore, whatever bookstore that have a list of books that they're offering. The goal is to have two new premiums a month. If we have two new premiums a month, we can definitely reduce the problem of having to repeat these premiums over and over and having diminishing return. The second committee, and again, a three-person panel working with WBI management to work on PSAs, establishing a list of PSAs being played in all the stations, radio stations in New York, and all other PSAs they can identify, and then finding out how to reach out to those people, their contact, their trendsetters, people that can influence them to give us PSAs and bring the PSA from 80,000 that we did this year so far from October to present to about 300,000. The third committee is a committee of three board members and management to have underwriting and to work on underwriting, to identify underwritings all over the place. There are people getting underwriting all over the place, and what are the companies, what are the contacts. For example, Leonard Lopez, you know, we should have still been so far away in that process. Interview people who write books that are published by publishers. So those publishers should be underwriting that show. Very simple, very easy. No hook, no obligations. There are hundreds of producers, publishers that publishes those books, many different books. You don't look for which publisher publishes a book to interview people. You just look for interesting subjects. And so that's the third committee that's going to be very important. And the fourth committee that I'm really interested in is our webmaster, as we're talking right now, is printing the list of all outstanding pledge not paid, so people who pledged for a premium and did not pay, and the list of them, their phone number and everything else, so that we can start printing page by page to give to three volunteers who would be calling those people and asking them to pledge. And then the other committee is for people who have lapsed, donors who have lapsed, that we're going to be calling directly to get them to renew their membership, or most likely to be our buddies. We're also working with the ACE. Time? Did somebody take the time? Oh, no.
Virtual what?
The other... No, never mind. I heard somebody say time. So the other thing is we're working with ACD, the call center. They have some consultants that I've worked with them and people, you know, ACD our call center. And we've drafted a series of three letters, follow up on people who have who are just lapsed. And we're going to string those emails on a regular basis. They should be going probably in 2 weeks, starting in 2 weeks, and then they're going to be going on a regular basis. So these are the things that we are doing to bring in money. We may have to cut consultants, even though there's nothing to cut there. The maximum number of cuts we could do for consultants will come up to $3,000, which is maybe like 10% of our deficit, with $30,000 a month, which is still very insignificant, because then we have 27,000 left to make up for. So I don't want to go into some detail about, you know, what could be cut. So that's basically it. That's basically what we're doing. We are doing a fund drive, a full fund drive, 2 weeks, starting August, September the 4th, going to 9/11. Going to September the 17th. It's going to end with our Latin thing on a Sunday, where we're going to honor, well, we have a premium called our Latin thing, Bobby Sanabria, and Eddie Pioneri, who seems to be a little sick now, and then doing a lot of interviews, so we're going to honor all these Latin musicians and Latin politics, since we have a very strong Latin show on Sunday. We will probably do a Harry Belafonte special day during the fund drive. We will do a conspiracy theory day. We will do a 9/11 revisited a whole lot of the things they call conspiracy now. They used to call conspiracy mainstream now. So we saw it been ahead of the curve. We've been called nuts, and then a lot of the things that we said turned out to be truth. So with the conspiracy day, you know, we will hopefully have different opposing point of views, and then have premiums to that effect. And then vaccine is going to be part of that, for sure. We'll definitely have a health day. So all of these things to be coordinated. There's a lot of work because Linda right now is spending all of her time coordinating and editing, listening to candidate statements to put on the air, and then listening to forum that we're going to put on the air. So that's basically what we're doing. We I overheard Mario and you guys talking some smack in the beginning, and then that's why I just didn't really want to participate in this. So every time we are in trouble, we find grants. What do you mean you don't bequests? What do you mean you don't believe it? We get bequests, and then we have the documentation that the bequest comes in. So I don't understand that. It doesn't make any sense. It's actually a stupid comment. Mario. We have a potential of a pretty significant grant that would get us off the hook for Times Square and the call center. And the four Times Square and actually rent. But 388 Atlantic. Also, WBI management has done due diligence to get into owners. We have finally got commitment for a matching fund. So I had negotiated that they would give us close to 4 months of rent for 388 Atlantic Avenue, but there's a condition. The condition is we have to pay 4 months of rent to 388 Atlantic Avenue, and they will match it. So since we owe 6 months, so that would put us in a pretty decent situation. There's a potential that they may increase it to 5 months over time. But there's also a kind of unstated deadline. They want this done ASAP or the deal is off. So Linda and I, we are putting together a campaign to go on the air to try to raise the money for this matching fund. Because this is a matching fund. So we'll get the producers, we'll get the board members to donate money. We'll have a link of a matching fund link for this specific item. We will send that information in to the newsletter and the dispatch to try to raise that money, because that's about $12,100 or something like that. That's money we don't want to lose. So that's what WBI management has been doing to date. We have about $40 in the bank right now because we paid $7,000 to the call center yesterday. So that they don't cut off the services to us. They made a deal that they would give us, that we would pay them $7,000 a month, which is about $6,500 bill, and $500 towards the previous outstanding item. That is why I want to remove the phone to have it ring at 388 so that we can get rid of that $6,500 a month that's recurring every month. Maybe we can reduce it to $500. You know, it rings three times at the AI. If nobody picks it up, it rings at the call center. See, it's funny to me, though, that even though we are making less money and getting less calls from listeners to pledge for premiums, our bill at the call center rose, and it's still at $6,500 a month on the regular basis. It just does not add up. But anyways, it's not like we have all these resources to investigate and to and to challenge, especially when we owe them about $60,000. That's my report.
Okay. Okay, Berthold, let's see. We have a few things here. Did you say we have $40 in the bank?
Yeah, as of tonight, because we just paid the call center $7,000. So tomorrow
okay.
We probably have
$2,000. Okay, so yes, indeed, $40 in the bank. Then you went on to talk about Four Times Square and the call center, and you seem to have mixed some of that together. So could you tell us what exactly? Four Times Square, the call center.
Four Times Square.
What are we owed?
$85K. About $85K.
$85K to the call center, and how much to Four Times Square?
$85K is to Four Times Square. I said Four Times Square.
So that's 85 to Four Times Square. So what is it to the call center?
It's probably 60,000 minus 1,500.
Okay,
it's,
do the math. Give me a number. It's about what?
60,000 minus 3,000. I could like 57,000.
57,000. All right, so 57,000 is owed to the call center right now. Four Times Square is owed about 85 grand. Let's see, there was also something else in here. Well, you heard already about, you know, you have something else on that?
388 is 6 months, so it's about 30,000.
So 388 is about 30,000. Okay. You were talking there about, that moved me off that. Oh God, it was something you said in the last couple of minutes here. Oh, the, bringing people in to sort of, get around the call center. You heard before people talking about, you know, the insurance is gone. And the general counsel is looking for a way to have people sign a waiver so that they won't sue us when they climb all those stairs and, you know, break a hangnail or something. So I gather you heard that. But also, are these people going to be, again, I forget this damn three-letter thing. It's a certification thing that if you're going to use credit cards and you're going to have with a vendor. So if we're calling in the credit card numbers, we have to have security around that. How are you dealing with that? Because we can't just have just people come in and answer phones. They have to somehow be certified and watched and all of that. How are you doing with that?
The word you are looking for is HIPAA. According to HIPAA, so the HIPAA rule. Yeah, so we will definitely have iPads. You know, there will be no fan in the location. There'll be iPads and then headphones, where when they get the call, they will be plugging in the information just like the call center is plugging in.
All right, so you're saying that we will have those people be compliant, which means
not just that
they don't have pens.
That's the word. Yes.
Not just that they don't have pens, but that they are going to be in some way certified. It's like almost being bonded to do this.
Yeah. Well, they will definitely sign a non-disclosure clause, and then the fact that you know they're dealing with sensitive information. Okay. But
isn't there more to it than that, Berthold?
Yes. The most important part is that in the past, when we used to have a volunteer come in, they used to have papers all over the place, and then they were writing all that information, and they kept it in a folder, and then they give it to the supervisor afterwards. So they could write anything they want or keep anything they want if they wanted to. This is not possible. This would not be possible.
That's not my question, Berthold. My question regards the people themselves. My understanding is that the people themselves have to be in some way certified or something, or, you know, not just an NDA that they sign. Because it doesn't matter, Berthold, if you don't have paper or pencil. It's a stinking lousy 10 or 12-digit number. And there are literally millions upon millions of people who can sit there and memorize numbers of that length and other data associated with it and then walk out the door and then write it all down and steal all that from people. So I think there has to be, I think there's more to it than what you're saying. And I hope you will look into that. But moving on from that particular thing.
I would look into that, but I think you're wrong because the call center.
Okay.
They just hire people, clerks. And the thing though is they have supervisors sitting there around, and then that was the main criteria in Manhattan when we had the call center in Manhattan, and then after they got bought by the company in Long Island, and then the call center right now will certify that they do the same practices, even though it feels like sometimes there's somebody at home in somewhere taking those phone calls. But,
all right. I want to move on here, Berthold.
Okay.
Now, you're saying we're going to have, I mean, you mentioned in here, we're going to have a conspiracy theory day. We're going to pitch off that specifically as conspiracy theories. I mean, I don't think that's a great idea because I think the conspiracy hoaxes, as I prefer to call them, are a part of what's driven our listeners away. A lot of those conspiracy things, basically they insult people's intelligence. So I don't know that that's a good idea to push more conspiracy stuff on the air than we have, and I certainly don't think we should count on that as something to make serious money from. Anyway, that's what I have to say. All right. Let's see if there's a stack. Who's on stack?
Daryl for the
stack.
Daryl. Who else wants to be on stack?
Mario.
Who else wants to be on stack? Who?
Dingman.
Jim Dingman. Anybody else for stack? I have Daryl, Mario, Dingman, anybody else?
Did you get Mike? You should have gotten me. Can't you?
White.
Hear me?
Okay, I have White now. Anybody else?
I thought I was first.
Okay, Murphy. Okay, what I have now is Daryl, Mario, Jim Dingman, Michael D.D. White, Allie Murphy, anybody else? Okay, let's start with that. Daryl, go ahead.
Mr. Chair, is it all right if I give my spot to Michael D.D. White?
No.
Okay.
You can't yield.
Okay, Marco, glad to hear from you. Really, really, really wonderful numbers. What I want to know is, can we get numbers on the special programming, how much each special program raises? So when there's this huge pushback and complaint, we can just say, well, if you're willing to raise X amount of money, then we wouldn't have this program on, which most of these people don't want to be on again and again and again anyway. Is that possible?
Oh, sure, that's possible. I actually provided a set of spreadsheets to the board. Our board probably has that. I can forward it to you, where we talked about, we showed fundraising by program, so we can get an idea, a pretty good idea of what program, what are the top 20% program that are raising money, and then we can also look at the top 20 premiums that are making money. I'm actually working right now on producing a report showing the net, because there's a lot of people who keep talking about Christine Blasdale, whether or not you like her or not, or love her or hate her, doesn't matter. When people think that, you know, trying to step in to try to tell me how to run a premium and then establish a rate, there's supposed to be a 1-to-10 ratio. You know, everybody's very rigid. So a 1-to-10 ratio means that if you have a premium that costs you $10, you're offering it for $100, right? But if you have a premium that costs you $60, like the Christine Blasdale premium, and you're offering the premium for $250, it is definitely not a 1-to-10. Because 1-to-10 would be, you have to offer the premium for $600, which would not be reasonable. However, you just made $190 on that premium, whereas of the 1-to-10 premium that you're spending $10 on and offering for $100, you only made $90. So people have to understand that common sense is part of my dealing with vendors and figuring out how to get premium. I am working on a spreadsheet to show Gary Noll, Blasdale, and Tony Bates ROI, return on investment. And then that would include the cost of the premium, what we pay Christine Blasdale or Tony Bates, and also the mailing of the premium, which is a wash. People seem to keep forgetting that we do charge the listeners about $5 for shipping and handling. And so at the end of the day, mailing the premium, you know, getting the package and then the stamps and all that stuff, it comes to about a wash. Although now since the price of mailing has gone up again, it might, you know, we might be a little on a deficit, but it's not a big deal, you know, like the cost of handling the premium. So yes, thank you for the question. Yes, that's my long answer.
Matt, the stats?
Okay, hold on. Matt, I'll put you in the end of that. So 1 second. And speaking of that sort of thing, let me make sure I'm going to interject something here very fast. Is Bruce Grief here? Don't hear him. Is Serene Roberts here? Don't hear her. Is Neil Voss here? Don't hear her. Okay, I think I need to do the announcement again. Sorry, folks, we'll get to it. We'll get to the rest of you in a few seconds, but I need to do this little bit of bureaucracy. While attendees at any WBAI meeting are not required to identify themselves, anyone who wants to become a member of the committee must sign the sign-in sheet at 3 consecutive committee meetings in order to become a member. It is the policy of the WBAI local station board that for the local finance committee, that the sole criterion for establishing attendance at meetings to become a member of the local finance committee shall be the signing in on the official sign-in sheet for that meeting. For these electronic meetings, it is sufficient that the prospective member let the chair know their name and that they are present during the meeting. The PNB has passed a motion that, quote, only those affiliated for voting purposes with a particular local station and only that local station may serve as voting members of a committee of that local station board. So I ask now, is there anybody who wants to tell us that they are here and they want to become a member and they want to give us their name? Okay, hearing none, nobody new. All right, so we will continue with our stack. The next person is Mario.
Quick question. Did we get a bequest of $180,000?
Yeah, we got a bequest of $189,000, but we haven't received the money yet. So we're waiting.
And was that the Pacifica or just the BAI?
To BAI. It's the same Bolton family bequest. Out of that, we'll probably...
But that has to be shared with Pacifica, right?
Let me finish.
Unless it was designated for...
No, it's for BAI. But we will give the national office $120,000 or more for essential service. We will be equivalent to $10,000 per month for the fiscal year, whereas of supposedly the we were supposed to pay them $16,890. However, there was a motion passed to reevaluate how much we're supposed to pay essential service as a percentage of our monthly revenue. And I think that number might go down. So at the end of the day, I think we might, after that $120,000 may solve our essential service problem for this fiscal year.
Well, what would BAI get out of that?
That we paid essential service, and then we'll use $60,000 to pay four Times Square. Here from the executive director, we owe four Times Square $83,121. So $60,000 four Times Square will bring it to $23,000, which is close to 1 month of rent. But that means by September, there'll be another month accumulated, you know, so that'll be 2 months of rent. The $9,000 we would use probably to pay, we would add a little money to the $9,000 to make it a 2 month rent for $388. But we would rather wait on that and raise that money, that matching fund that we can raise before we get to that point. They have here that we owe $388, $18,000, and that's definitely wrong. We owe them more.
Thank you.
Mr. Timekeeper, are you calling time? Mr. Timekeeper? Jeffrey, is that you? I heard something. I'm not sure if it's you. And I'm hearing nothing now.
Okay. It was 8:37, but you used about 3 minutes for checking if people were there. So I'm making it to 8:40, okay?
Okay, so we got 4 minutes. Go ahead. Okay. All right.
My comment on the premiums and things like this is my observation is that if these repeated premiums and pitches are still making money, then that means there's a high percentage of them are trawling or panning the station and stopping by and maybe ordering for the first time. I don't necessarily know if they're going to continue being a listener, or do they listen only when there's pitching and then they go, oh, I'll tune in later. You know, so again, it's something, you have to do something, but it's not getting your listeners. It's not bringing listeners to the station to say, this is important information. It's important that this exists because of the, you know, the censoring and the thing and the Twitter, and it's really serious about that. And but then the station and the network has serious money problems.
It is serious.
I don't know if anybody's going to give you less comment. I don't know if anybody's going to give you money, underwriting and all this, if you don't have a listener base. Why would I give you 100,000 if you got 2,000 people a day listening to your radio station? I mean, it's possible.
I agree with that. There are two answers for that. Well, first of all, this is a serious problem, and Pacifica, as a network, has failed to establish a podcast channel, a real podcast channel, to capitalize, and I'm blaming everybody on this. And I try my best to push this for a while. Got a major donor to give us some money to pay an intern to push this. And then we went out of money, and then no one felt that it was important, or nobody really gets together and says, okay, let's get this thing done. You know, our future is podcast. If we don't do podcast, we're dead. And then nobody seems to be really wanting to do this. The second thing about the answer for you on premium, yeah, you know, like you have people who just peruse the radio station just like I do. And then they listen to this, and then it captures them, and then they call in. That's why the numbers are 5, 6, 7, 10 people, as opposed to 20, 30, 40. it's amazing to me to see how Gary Null reversing heart disease and stroke naturally is still making money. The other thing in that is concerning the premium. We play them at different time of the day. We know probably at different space in the grid, and yeah, they have been exhausted. You know, Linda goes and edits and puts a little current news for 2 minutes in there. In front. Yeah, but that is a serious problem. I get sick and tired of listening to those rebroadcasts myself.
Okay. Time has been called. Does anybody want to make a motion to extend this item?
I move
that we extend this for 10 minutes.
All right, I have two people. I have Dingman for 15, Berthold for 10. What do you want to do? Do you want to go with Dingman?
I'll go with Dingman.
Okay, we'll go with Dingman, and he's doing an extension for 15 minutes. And is there any objection to extending the time for this item by 15 minutes? Hearing none. It's done. It's passed without objection. Mr. Timekeeper, I have it's 20:41. Okay, Berthold, finish your comment there, and then we'll go on.
Yeah, I'll be very quick. I've been listening a lot to ESPN Sports Channel, and they are one of the top listened to stations around here, besides our competitor. I can tell you, sometimes I just sit and listen just to realize how much crap these people are talking about. They are cracking jokes on each other, talking about totally nonsense, and then I'm waiting for the punch line. There's nothing. And so part of what we are dealing with. I strongly encourage you to listen to it for a whole day to realize what I'm talking about. These guys, you know, never mind. So so we are also dealing with a dumbed down population. You know, I'm not blaming the population for us not having people listening to us, but we are dealing with a dumbed down country that is interested in quick, you know, superficial stuff. And our goal is to figure out how to capture them and bring them back and inform them. That's a huge job.
Okay. Next person on the stack is Jim Dingman.
All right. First of all, I want to say something positive has occurred. One of our candidates for the LSB is a professional fundraiser. And she has asked, and I think the easiest way to handle this is if you guys send it to my email. She wants people to send comments as to what they think are the positive aspects of WBAI. Why should WBAI exist? What is its positive aspects? And you can send that. I'll give you my email, explain a little bit about what that's all about. Send it to my JimDingman@yahoo.com, DINGEMAN. Now, the reason that's done is she wants to synthesize all the different comments. About three people have sent in those comments to her. She wants to draft a letter that can be used for fundraising to actually hit big donors. Now, I know that there's a lot of activity in the Loft Committee. There's a lot of activity, a lot of non-activity in the Loft Committee. So in any event, if you send that to me, I will make sure that this person gets it so that she can help draft the letter that is necessary. And this woman has raised millions of dollars, okay? That's why we're very lucky to have her volunteer this. Now, the issue also is what's going to happen in the next couple of weeks and months. I'm perfectly willing to accept the issue that the premiums is the problem, although I don't totally agree with that. Because having the knowledge I have about the amount of people listening to the radio station is low, low, low. And frankly, I'm not coming in to beat my head up against the wall if all we're doing is reinforcing low listen to shows. there has to be a change in that. And I think we have to be very flexible in terms of what we're trying to adopt to raise money, because obviously something's going to work, something's not going to work, and we don't have the hang-ups about Gary Null and Christine Blasdale that other stations do. But we're going to have to just try to throw things to the wall and see what works, and we're going to have the same kind of mobilization of people we had about 7 or 8 or 10 years ago, people recall, when I was the chair of the CAB. We're going to have that kind of mobilization. Now, the question of having people handle phone calls is an issue, is that our poll raises is a ticklish one, and the issue of having people come in to volunteer. In the past, we had people come in to volunteer and decided to fall down on the floor and cost us $30,000 in one case. And in another case, we had people come in and sabotage the elevator at 388 Atlantic Avenue. So that kind of bullshit cannot happen again. And that did happen in the past. So let's be clear about that. I know if I go in, I'm going to be on my tippy toes looking for that kind of behavior. And, you know, really, somebody wants to, you know, be an ambulance chaser. And I'm thinking about one particular incident where somebody fell on the floor and sued and won $30,000 for bullshit. That kind of stuff cannot be tolerated at this time. I know all of us are serious about turning the station around, and we can't have that kind of crap going on. Thank you.
Mario to the stack.
Okay. Hold on. We're working on this stack now. Michael D.D. White is next.
Yes, thank you. Berthold, I wanted to give you some feedback. I think your idea of a conspiracy day is a great idea, and such a great idea that I'd love to contribute to it. I have a list of over 50 conspiracies that runs on in bullet point form for about 12 pages currently, and almost all of them are acknowledged to be at least mostly true on Wikipedia, which, as we know, is monitored and edited by the CIA. Most of those are not reported, and you don't hear about them in the corporately owned mainstream media. So I think it's exactly what our listeners are tuning in for, and I think it's exactly in accordance with the mission statement. And it's when you have the overview of these things, it's very valuable in terms of getting an informed viewpoint on the world.
Okay, next, you're done, right? Yeah.
Fine.
Okay, next is Allie Murphy. Go ahead.
I have a few questions. One is, can it be possible? I didn't know that Bertha was thinking about returning to for volunteer to pick up the phone and receive donations. You know, is that possible that you could have? Because I know our board was concerned about people getting other people's card, you know, credit card number or debit card number, whatever it is, and then people memorizing the number and all the information and then going out and using the card. It is possible to have more than one phone where somebody will get the phone call, and then you could just pass it over to somebody who is bonded and maybe get that information, that information that we needed to collect the money or process the credit card number. That's just an idea. Maybe you have a few people to answer the phone, but then you have one person or two people that they will get the actually call, pass it over to that person who is bonded, by the way, and then you will feel more comfortable receiving all that information so that person could actually process that information. So that is just an idea. Another thing that I was just thinking about is I know that they do Teleton, but of course it's through the TV. Is there any way to do like a radiothon? I don't know if that is the right word, but just one day and have a lot of public announcement that what it will be done, and maybe just to see how much money. Besides, I know that, we do each program, they do their own thing with premiums and all that, but I'm just saying just to take one day a year and then just do this for one day a year and just tell people, we have to do this to collect all this money because we owe $60,000 to the call center, and we owe $85,000 to the antenna and all those things. So that's what I'm thinking about, maybe something like that. It could be done just once a year, maybe that big day, to see how much money you will be collecting. And the third thing that I was thinking about, it was to Bertolt also. Have you ever, and I don't know if this is legal, publicized or during your when you talk to the listener, have you ever publicized the top 20 programs at WBAI that actually they raise the most money? And the reason that I'm saying that is because perhaps program could be offered to people that they have some knowledge and maybe one or two a spot, and see if you could get people that it would bring new people into, new listener into the station by offering a spot. I'm just some ideas. But anyway, I'm done. Thank you.
Okay. Next person is Matt Mazza.
I wanted to answer that quickly.
Okay, go ahead, Bertolt.
Yeah. Thank you for your comments, a positive or suggestion. I think the last one first. We do send sometimes a list to the producers, but I think even that sometimes is controversial. You know, like we all ask, why are we pitting people against each other? Which I think is a stupid idea. I mean, you of course you want people to know where you stand. But we would not send that to the listeners because, I don't know, it might be embarrassing to see what people are and things like that. So we just want to share that among us, the workers, paid or not paid, so that they can know where they are and they can try to do something about it. About a telethon once a year, I think that's an excellent idea. I would, I want to think about that. And it would take a long time to plan because you have to have people to commit, different producers commit to come and pitch during that hour. I would want to mix that with the BI Buddy because sustained donation is really what we want. And during the fund drive, we're going to have the 2-week fund drive in September. Every other day, I think we're going to try to have it as a pure BI Buddy pitch day so that we can give people a break in between a pledge pitch and just having the regular shows pitch all day for buddies and see what happens. And the third one is your first question is, with all due respect to you and everybody else, I don't understand what's the big concern. When we were doing this 13 years ago with people with pen and paper, we had people who were in from prison, from the Fortune Society, who came and volunteer. In all of that, people writing things down, there were not that many incidents. So I don't understand why such concern, first of all. Second, we are not going to have paper and pen. Third, Linda and I, we are going to try to be there as we're going to try to be there as often as possible so that we can we can supervise, and then we will coordinate with probably Matt Mazur, and then with the board app for them to keep an eye when we're not there because we cannot be there 24/7. And then that's how we're going to handle this. So I'm done. Sorry. Hopefully I didn't take too much time.
Mario Tidstack.
Bertolt, the reason why we can't do it the way we used to do it is because I believe the law changed. Okay? That's why. Matt Mazza is next. Matt? By the way, somebody has something that's clinking. And it's, you know, could you please mute yourself or stop the clinking noise?
Sounds like they're eating pudding.
Matt, are you there?
Yes.
There's Matt. Go ahead.
Just a comment. Tomorrow morning, we will have approximately $3,000 in the bank, as I've just collected all the checks and got them together. Over a period of time, checks come in the mail, and it's not significant. Today, one of the checks was for $1,200, and then another donor, $700. You know, many come for $50, $20, $10, but every once in a while, you get a larger number, and they add up. David Rothenberg did, last month in June, about $9,000 to SNP tickets. So, I haven't the tally yet for this month. It comes in. I mean, we do have. So that's a positive note on that. The other thing, the premiums, many of them are stuff and more stuff, but many of them are educational. So there's the value in contributing to the value of WBAI. History. These premiums, I have to say that Mimi does, as long as they are, they really give you a phenomenal history. And when you talk to people, degrees have no knowledge and stuff. So that is my contribution. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Matt. All right. Mr. Timekeeper, how much time do we have left on this?
1 minute left.
Jeffrey?
1 minute.
1 minute? 1 minute.
Yeah, 1 minute.
All right. Okay. Who can do 1 minute?
Mario.
I don't think you can do 1 minute, let Mario. That would be a first completely right there. All right. Is there any objection to going to the next item here?
What is it?
Next meeting date.
Oh, no. Come on. Give me 1 minute.
Okay, Mario, what do you got? 1 minute. Go ahead, Mario, one minute.
Here we go. Okay, so socials. I like that the station is going to start using volunteers. You just make sure you select these are people that know the station. Maybe they've donated. You know, they're not fly-by-nights. And you could also put a camera in the room that records. You let them aware. They sign on to that they're going to be videotaped as well. And then at the end of the day, if they do something wrong, you tell them, listen, you don't want to be visited by the FBI. You know, you can only do so much. You go to Starbucks, they can get your information. So you can't protect against everything. I like the postcards idea. You give people free postcards. You hand it out and you say, here, this is a free postcards. And they could, one of them can say happy birthday on it, but it's about BAI. And it's got a photograph from New York. Things like that. Just you can send three postcards to anyone who's signed up as a member. Postcards. And also, see if this woman could put together a BAI singles social or a singles dating site. It doesn't cost money to do that, and you got airtime to advertise it. There's another station and show that's doing very well about paranormal. They got over close to 200,000 people participating. A dating site.
Okay. Okay, time has been called, and we should go to the next item, I think, unless somebody really wants to extend again. And I hear no extension. So, next item, set next meeting date. And where is that? Okay. This is the 16th. Keeping with the way we've been doing this, it would be September 20th. So, I'll make a motion. Meet next on September 20th at 7 p.m. in the usual way. All right, so that's the motion on the floor to set the next meeting date to be September 20th. Let me check again.
Day before the solstice.
Yep. September 20th and at 7 p.m. Okay, so that's the motion on the floor. Any debate? Hearing no debate. Is there any objection to meeting next on September 20th? Hearing none. It is passed without objection. Okay. The next item on the agenda is new business. Anybody have any new business they want to bring to the committee?
Postcards.
I have one question. New business. Anybody here willing to volunteer for any of those committees? Email me, brothall@wbi.org.
Mr. Chair, Daryl for the staff.
Okay, who's this?
Daryl McPherson.
Okay, Daryl, go ahead.
I suggest that we have the two newspapers, the Black Star News and the Independent, promote the station, and that we promote the newspapers. And the second thought is that there's an automatic system that will take your secure information. In other words, a person would fill out all the things on the card, and when he comes to the secure information, like the credit card or debit number, it gets transferred to an automatic system that then takes down the information and then passes it back to the original caller. Somebody needs to look into that. Perhaps the newspapers could do that and do a little story on it. And investigate a way to get in touch with Good Shop so that we can get Ken and J.J. Ramberg on, because I've raised $50 just doing search with Good Search. I think that would help the financial situation. Thank you.
Okay, we're in new business. Anybody have any other new business they want to bring up? If not, does anybody have a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn from me.
Okay, who made the motion?
Jeffrey,
okay. Motion is to adjourn. Is there any objection to adjourning at this time? Hearing none, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you all.